Hi, ladies. Welcome. It is Tuesday, November 15th. This is Crystal Anders Morissette. I'm flying solo today, so I'm, like always, really excited to have you here with me because I need you, because I can't do these calls without you. So thank you for joining me. Wow, what a week. Let's all take a big, deep breath. Like, seriously, big, deep breath. This time last week when I was doing our chat with Crystal, I had just kicked off the idea of our Simply Woman. For those of you that are doing that, Simply Woman, love your body. You're part of our group. You're doing our 12-week program together. That was pretty much, you know, all we talked about last week. We talked about if our hubbies are trying to sabotage us. I talked about Aaron bringing me some damn whatever it was. And that was all that was on my mind. And look at the week. Look what's happened from last week to this week and where we're at. And so today I would just love to ask all of us, what, wherever you stand, to the left, to the right, to the middle, to the far, to the high, to the low, to take a deep breath. And remember that we are all one. We really are, ladies. We really, really are. And right now I feel more called than ever before in my entire lifetime. Are y'all healing me? Everybody's hearing me? I want to make sure you're hearing me. I see Maggie. Maggie, I hate to do this to you. Maggie, can you hear me? Maggie, can you hear me? Why am I not hearing? What is going on? Maggie, can you hear me? I've unmuted Maggie. Okay,
so
there.
I can hear you.
You can hear me. Okay, thank God. Because you know what? When you're alone and I'm looking at my screen and I'm not seeing my voice, because normally my voice moves and I can see it, so you can hear me. You're good.
Yeah, I had oil. I was oil swishing. I'm like, oh, my God, I can hear you, but I couldn't talk. I'm sorry.
Oh, I love you. You were oil swishing with coconut oil?
Yeah. So I'm like, oh, la, la, la.
Is it making your teeth really white?
It does a lot more than that. I do it for other reasons. But
Tell me all the reasons, Maggie. Let's just go right into coconut oil swishing. I think that would be a great way to kick off our call today. Tell us about coconut oil swishing.
Well, it helps your immunity. It cleanses toxins out of your body. And it helps you, you know, from getting sick. And
it really does help all your gums and everything.
Uh-huh, and everything in your whole system. So I've been doing it for years. So.
Wow. And you're fit as a fiddle, so... I've tried it once. I kind of gagged as I got it into my mouth. So I guess you have to get used to the feeling of coconut oil in your mouth swishing around.
Yeah, it takes a lot. First, I swallow a big tablespoon. That's how I start my day, a big old tablespoon.
Hurt you anyways, because I eat coconut oil and put it on my skin, so it's not a big deal if you do swallow it.
Yeah, so it's really good, but you don't want to swallow what you're swishing because that's full of toxins.
And
then it'll get thick and foamy the more you do it, and then I know it's done. I spit it in a little plastic cup I have and throw it away. So, yeah, it's part of my morning routine, so I was just doing this.
Swishing. Well, thank you, Maggie, for teaching us how to swish and help our immune system, and one day we may all look like Maggie J.
Oh,
just
you're
saying.
Sweet. No, it's just I have a lot of quirky little things I've been doing for 40 years. So
and you're looking pretty gorgeous, so it's working.
Thanks, honey.
Thank you for all your love.
Honey. I know someone called you honey, and I'm not a honey caller, but I just came out.
I love you, honey, and thank you for standing by me. I know it's been a hard time, what's been going on, and I know I'm big and loud and brazen and bold, and everybody loves my realness until I say some shit they don't like, but thank you for just loving me through me.
I love you no matter what. I just hang in there and absorb it all.
Yeah. And we're learning. We're all learning.
Yeah. I'm good with it, really.
Yeah. Thank you, Maggie.
It's been hard over here, though. It's really hard.
Yeah,
so.
Is it? What state are you in? You're in Washington.
Yeah, I'm in Washington. No, it's not hard. It's just the social media is hard, I guess, is what it is. We should just, that's what's been worse, not in our city or anything. So.
Yeah. Well, that's it. That's usually what it is. It's the,
I mean, church.
Well,
hard. Nothing's hard, just social media. And it's like, oh, my gosh, I need
to. Yeah, you almost have to get off then. You have to know when to unplug from it because it's affecting you.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Maggie J.
Yes, thank you, and have a great call.
Thank you for listening.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, honey. Love you, too.
Bye-bye.
Oh, I just muted her. I see some of you starting to come on the line right now. Thank you so much for being here today. Like I said, it has been a crazy week, and it has been hard on social media, and we are being exposed to more than we're used to, and we are seeing each other acting in ways that we're confused by. And, you know, for me, I always use any type of opportunity where I'm razzled, frazzled, crying, or sad, or angry as an opportunity for growth, always. It's always about you. It's always about me. And it sounds narcissistic, but everything that's going on around you is part of your microcosm. It's your world, and it's my world. And we all have, our own world. And we are all part of this big, huge world, and we all are part of it all. And we're all the same stardust, and we all – what I find is so amazing, and, you know, I'm just speaking off the cuff right now, so some of my dates or times could be wrong, but, you know, I always just think back to sort of my own healing is that I think right back to the Big Bang. I remember somebody asked me once, and they said, you know, why are we here? Well, we're here because there was this little pea-sized vessel about 15 billion years ago, that was the first container of the universe. It was the size of a pea. And all the energy that was in that little size pea is still the energy that makes up this entire universe, and all of us come from that same size pea. This is what the theory goes. And, I mean, you have physicists and scientists, and this is the Big Bang Theory. And the Big Bang Theory goes that there once upon a time, 15 billion years ago, there wasn't this whole universe, this world, Pluto, Mars, the sun, all of that. There was a pea-sized container of energy. Energy. And some intrinsic value, some intrinsic inside ingredient, something inside that pea caused it to separate. And it began to come apart, fragment, almost like you could imagine little shards of light, little shards of energy. That's what energy is, right, is light. And then the light began to move apart. And over 15 billion years, it has expanded into what we, as we stand on the earth and look out at the universe, we see as this huge, big, monstrous universe that has galaxies upon galaxies all contained within this huge container of energy now. But the energy has never changed. It's only transferred. And the amount of energy has never changed. It's only expanded. And as we take this to ourselves and what's happening right now in the world, it sort of helps me to think first and foremost about what happens to each of us. So you were a little girl, or if there's any men, you were a little boy, and you too were a little pea-sized container of energy. In fact, if you were to put your body under a microscope, if you were to put your hand under a microscope, your hair, if you could take a piece of your heart or your liver and put it under a microscope and zoom down on it, you would zoom past the cellular level, you would zoom beyond the skin, you would zoom beyond the cells and the mitochondria and the DNA, and you would continue zooming. Imagine you could continue zooming. This is factual. This is science. If we continue to zoom down, you would actually zoom down to the atomic level. And what we know is at the atomic level, we are actually 99.99999% empty. We are actually little bundles of vibrating energy, billions of little atoms that are all 99.9999% empty. They're just a little ball of light. It's a little ball of light, exactly like the Big Bang. It's this little ball of light. And so each one of us were born from that energy, from that little ball of light. And we grew in our mummy's womb, and we slowly began to form a body, and we began to form a brain. But you're not your brain, and you're not your body. You are the part of you that is the energy that is inside that container. We are part of the energy inside the container of the universe. We all have this energy within us. We are all connected, and we all come from the same source energy. We all come from the same light. We all come from the same place. We all come from 15 billion years ago, a little pea-sized container of light. This is science. This is not God, but this is God. What if you were to imagine that God literally contained this container, and that we, in a very real sense, were the chaos inside that said, I want to know myself in a whole new, different way? And what if we were the curious seekers? You know, in the Bible, in the very first book of the Bible, Genesis, it talks about, you know, God created the earth in 7 days, and then he created man, and then he created woman, and then he created the Garden of Eden, and then he created the tree of knowledge, the tree of life, and then said, don't take a bite of the apple. And us curious seekers, us women, we went over there and bit that apple. And we created, apparently us, of course, let's blame it on the women, we bit into knowledge. We expanded consciousness. And so let's take it back to us individually. So we now are growing. We have a mind, we have a body, we have a brain, we have a heart, we have a soul. We are born into this world and we have parents, we have a mother. And we look up at our mother and we think she is the universe, she is God, she is goddess. And we watch her and we learn what life for us will be like. And then suddenly around the age of 2 or 3, we start to realize we're separate. We're separate from our mom. We're separate from people. We're our own separate people. Somebody yells at us. Somebody hurts us. Somebody abuses us. Something happens. And what we do in that moment is we take a little piece of ourselves and we fragment off a little part of ourselves. Oh, somebody yelled at me. Oh, my God. Being that version of me is not acceptable in this world. So I have to pull that part of me away and go bury it somewhere in the basement. I'm going to bury it in the dungeon. I'm going to bury it in the earth. And through your life, somebody makes fun of you. Somebody hurts you. Something happens. Your dad acts a certain way and your mother says, he's such an asshole. And anyone who acts like that are assholes. So you decide you're never going to be like your dad. And then your dad says, and you're never going to be like your mom. And then you're never going to be like that person. You're never going to be like that person. You're never going to be like that person. You're never going to be like your humanity. You're never going to be like the people that are around you. You're going to be different. You're going to be, and so we start to fragment. And we feel just like, as we look out at the universe, when we look really deep into our hearts, into ourselves, we are different people in different countries with different skin color and different religions and different borders, and we're all separate, and I'm separated from you, and you're separated from yourself. And the idea of healing, the idea that we must heal within ourselves is really this great Jewish phrase called tikkun olam, and I wrote about it today. And I don't know why, but as I was writing the words, I was shaking like as if I was in minus 40 weather. The words were coming so fast. I wrote that entire blog in about 10 minutes. And I, before I even proofed it, I threw it up on my website and I published it, and then I started noticing little mistakes and I was shaking. I was shaking. Not with sorrow, not with sadness, with joy and excitement and truth. When we hurt each other, we hurt ourselves. When we hurt ourselves or parts of ourselves, we hurt each other. We are one, and that means the repairing of the world. And what tikkun olam means is really this great idea of this repairing of the world, that we could gather up all the fragmented parts, somehow consider the Big Bang, gather up all these fragmented parts and heal it back together so that we have that same feeling of oneness that we felt. That's what we're always calling to. That's what we're always wanting to go back to. We're always wanting to get back to that source energy, that wholeness, that authenticity. And with everything that's happened this week, I feel like I've just come so full circle from feeling so fragmented, sobbing and crying, and seeing other people as different than me. Why are they thinking that way? Why are they talking that way? How can they possibly think that way? Crying for the women's movement, I will be honest. Whatever you believe about the election or the candidates, I cried for women around the world, not just America. I cried for the little girl in Cambodia. I cried for the little girl in Thailand. I cried for women in Saudi Arabia that were like, man, maybe we're going to be able to drive a car soon. Maybe. But I knew, I saw this coming. And I've been crying for a long time because I remember back in March, I was at International Women's Day down in Aruba, and I said, she's not going to win. She's not going to win. And I felt it and I knew it because I felt the energy. Not that I freaking jinxed it. I prayed and hoped and hoped and prayed and I sounded the horns. I at least shared my opinion. And I want to talk about letting go and surrendering. We're going to be moving into that tomorrow night in our telecourse in week 11. Because when I hear people say, I surrender, I want to say, no, there's a big difference between surrendering and accepting and waving the white flag and checking out. And I think too many of us have checked out, and then we call it, like, enlightened. But there are little girls in Cambodia that are in the sex trade. There are little girls in Thailand who are being sold as young as 4 and 5 years old because their families, it's the only way they can get some money. They're being sold to men. There's a lot going on in the world, and we can't just say things like, to be enlightened, you unplug from it all. No, you have to know where you're going to plug in. You can't let it drain your energy. You can't start seeing people as separate from you. And this week was a really big week of me just finding my way back to my wholeness and my oneness and my own tikkun olam. And it was reclaiming the disowned parts of me that hated Trump. It was reclaiming the disowned parts of me that hated people who thought that that way of speaking was okay. It was reclaiming the parts of me that was abused. It was reclaiming the parts of me that actually went back to my abusers after I was abused, because I was conditioned to go back to that, because we are in this entire world been groomed for that, because our parents can hurt us and we forgive them. And we can be abused and we forgive. And we've all been taught to just, you know, suck up, buttercup. And I don't know, this week has been a week for me to say, we don't tell stories to hurt people. We don't tell our stories to create division. We tell our stories to reclaim the broken, wounded part of ourselves. And we tell that story if there's an ending that teaches, if there's reasons for those words. If the purpose is just to tell the story to puke on people and to just say, this is all that happened to me, you got to be in alignment with why you're telling the story and the reason why you're telling that story. So over the course of the last week, one of my friends, we've been talking about a project for months now. Her name is Jackie Brown. And over the last week, you know, for a long time, you know, she's a Canadian woman as well. But when all that happened with the Black Lives Matter and all of that, and she's a black woman, you know, she reached out to me for one of the posts that I wrote months ago about sort of my feelings on that one, because, you know, I'm a warrior and sometimes I write my feelings, but not in a way to divide, but in a way to say, this is what I feel, and it's an opinion. Anyway, she reached out to me this week and we said, you know what? We've got to teach women how to write. We've got to teach women how to write their stories, write their books, write their truth, write their blogs, write their newsletters. We've got to teach women how to write. We've got to teach women how to rise through their story. We have to teach women how to come through the other side and to be able to share that in a coherent way. You know, one of the signs of true growth, true personal growth and healing, is when you can tell your story in a coherent way, where it will be heard and you will be listened to. Because clearly, we are not telling and speaking in a way that we're being heard. 50% of people see it so strongly one way, and 50% see it so strongly the other way, and 50% didn't even vote. Go figure. 50% of the U.S. didn't vote. 25% saw it one way. No, actually, not even that. 15% saw it one way. 15% saw it the other way, and the others were third-party votes. Of course the United States isn't what we're seeing on media. It's only 20%, let's say, is so adamant on one side. 20% is so adamant on the other side. And all the rest right now are just trying to put food on the table and take care of their children and go to work. And they're praying to God those 25 or that 20 and 20 are going to figure this out and heal this goddamn split. Because it's the other 50% that's really still counting on those voters, those getting out there, those taking action. And I commend anybody that voted, either side they voted on. I commend anybody for voting, for saying, this country matters to me. And so now it's about how do we come together and how do we start communicating where I hear you, because I'm not hearing you, and you're not hearing me. So the answer isn't fighting more. We fought. We battled. And you know what? the reality is, to rise in consciousness, you have to move through the battles, you know? And but how do you rise then above the battle and get neutral and see both sides and come to the drawing table and say, wait, we cannot go into the gladiator ring where somebody loses and somebody wins, because you guys are all American, and guess what? We are all humans, and when you hurt each other, you hurt us. And when someone in another country is hurting their women, hurting their children, hurting their men, starving, it's hurting all of us. And that's why it matters. That's why it matters for us to get involved. That's why it matters for us to show up. That's why it matters for us to even observe and to have an opinion and to decide to listen. Okay, what are they saying that they're so angry about? Okay, well, what are they saying? They might say to me, well, what are you trying to say that you're so angry about? Okay, what if we can try to say this in a way where you hear me and I hear you? That's what peace is. And it's okay that we all got angry, because anger is a sign that there's something in your being, that you're either being triggered, so for me, huge triggers, but also boundaries. So it is a sign for you to say, turn off, unplug, unfriend, block. You're allowed to do that to protect your mental well-being. You're allowed to do that with family. You're allowed to do that with friends. You're allowed to do that with the news. You're allowed to do that with the internet. You're allowed to do that. But what I would say is, don't unplug so deeply. Don't unplug so much that you're checked out. Checked out. Because there's a very big difference between peace and passive. Peaceful is at the top of the spectrum, and passive is at the bottom. And so it's natural and it's normal if someone's in passive to start to move up through passive, passive-aggressive, to get angry, so that you can continue to rise up through your anger into assertive communication, where you're beginning to communicate in a way where you're being heard and listened to and respected, so that you can move up into just becoming neutral, where you can see both sides in the bigger picture, so that you can rise up higher with your neighbors, with your family, with your friends, so that you can communicate in a way where you can accept them as human beings and maybe not accept their words, but you can still love them. I have students that we might disagree on our political views, but I still love them. I have staff that we may disagree on our political views or our religious views, but I still love them, and I learn so much from their different views. So, you know, as we head now into a new time, it is a new time, we do have to accept that this is what it is. Now, what are we going to do about it? How are you going to use your words? How are you going to speak your truth? How are you going to tell your stories? How are you going to help create unity rather than division? And it's okay to share fear, to shine light on fear, because that's maybe where you're at. And we can only heal what we tell and what we share. You got to name it, you got to claim it, you got to grieve it, you got to release it. And the way to release it is by reaching that point that you've done all that you can do, and you realize now you've learned the lesson, and you thank the lesson, and you let go of all the stuff that doesn't serve you, and you hold on to the golden nugget. And that's where I want to move forward, and I want to support you in moving forward wherever you're at in that journey. So today I would love to do some coaching. Whoever is on the phone line, that's going to be the place I go. *2, you press into your phone. No matter what you're going through, no matter if your head is in the sand, no matter whether you don't give two shits about this election and you need to talk about your husband, your children, I'm here for you today. If you want to talk about your body, your health, I'm here for you today, because it all matters. All of it matters. And we are all one. And it's all about an inside job. It's all about healing the parts of us that cause us to be so disconnected from each other, for us to not have compassion for each other, because we lack compassion for ourselves. It's almost impossible to have compassion and empathy for someone else when you're hard on yourself. When I see someone who is so lacks compassion, I send them a prayer, because I think, man, the way they must talk to themselves. God bless them. Jeepers. And God bless myself when I have a lack of compassion and I'm angry, because it's just showing me my own wound and where I'm not able to see something. So I would love to do some coaching today, star two. If there's any of you that's sitting maybe on the webinar, I'm going to go over to the webinar and see if there's any messages that have come in. No, no one has written a question on the webinar. But like I said, I would love to do some coaching. I see a hand has gone up. I think it's from, who knows where it is. You tell me, because I'm not American and I never know these little short forms. Who just put your hand up? That's you. I unmuted you. You don't have to do anything. Calling from on a cell phone. There you go. I hear you.
Crystal?
Who's this? Yes.
This is Ellen. I just signed up for this one.
Ellen, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you. How are you?
I'm wonderful. Thank you for signing up for SWAT. Thank you for being an empowered woman. Thank you for believing in this movement. And thank you for having the courage to raise your hand today.
Oh, thank you so much. Yes, I'm excited to be a part of it. It's very inspiring thus far.
Wonderful. What did you want to share today, or did you want to get some coaching, or did you want to just share in the conversation?
I just wanted to share in the conversation because, I was very upset on Wednesday morning waking up and hearing the news of the election. And, I'm an American. And on Wednesday morning, I think it was my universal assignment that I work with children during the day, and then I do my coaching thing at, after school hours. And I work in the Bronx, so I work in a low-income community. And the student that I was with on Wednesday morning was a young girl with special needs, brand new from Yemen. And, she didn't even speak English yet. She only spoke Arabic. And I just thought, this girl has no idea what just happened, basically, to being a woman, being an Arabic American, Muslim American, and she doesn't even speak English, and she has special needs, like all of these kinds of things that Trump has targeted in some way to say, negative things about. But she was just radiating joy, and she was just the happiest little kid. And I thought, if she can be happy, then love's already won. It kind of divided that separation I was feeling, which is like, starting to feel victimized as being a woman and having a man who's a chauvinist in office. And, I was feeling a victim. And then I saw this little girl radiating joy, and I just thought, if she's happy, then love's already won. And
that's
it made
beautiful.
Me think. Yeah.
Beautiful. It was just. And, I think it's important, I think it's important to honor when we've feel victimized, because we've been victimized, and what is triggering us is that those old traumas, the thousands of years, the maybe our own victimization as young girls. So a big part of what this is bringing up for so many of us is the unhealed stories from our past, and I see this as an opportunity now for us not to go crazy, but to be the Dalai Lama said the Western woman will heal the world. He came to Canada in 2009, and he spoke to a sold-out audience at the Vancouver Peace Summit, and he said the Western woman will heal the world, and I believed him. And I knew at that point that we couldn't do it by trying to be like men, because then he would just say then men could heal the world. The woman will heal the world because the woman's got a way of doing it. And we right now are being called, like never before, to communicate in a way where we will be heard, where we will emulate joy still, where we will not, I was like, I know it sounds so silly, Ellen, because, afterwards my husband said, why would you even write that on Facebook? But we did. I had things in my front yard vandalized after I wrote my Trump post. And some, my kids were like, Mom, you really think one of our little neighbors out here in the country in Canada was so mad at you that they came by and wrecked our arbor and busted things down over that? You don't think it was a bunch of kids that were maybe drunk? I'm like, okay, fine. But the point is that happened to me, and I associated it in my fear and in my pissed offness. And I said, I don't think I'm going to do retreats from my house ever again. And, over the weekend, Aaron, my husband, was like, oh, no, you didn't. We are so still doing retreats. That's not going to – we're not changing what we do. We're a beacon in the world. So we're going to be throwing another one up in the new year. But it's okay to to tell the story of what it's bringing up, because I think it's healing so many to say, yeah, you know, on that same day, Ellen, I canceled all my appointments on Wednesday, but I don't know why, for some reason, I decided to keep an appointment with a woman named Jessica, and it was my 3 o'clock appointment, 4 o'clock appointment, and I guess I thought, because I literally go hour to hour through the day, and I thought 4 o'clock I should be feeling better, because I was crying. I was sobbing on Wednesday, and just sobbing. I was just sobbing. Anyways, I called Jessica at 4 o'clock, and she can't even remember who I am. I'm like, oh, hey, Jessica, it's Crystal calling from the sweat. Who? And I go, hey, I know it's a rough day, and how are you? And she's like, I'm not good. I'm a Mexican immigrant living. I've never talked to a Mexican immigrant living in the United States to want to sign up to my course before that I knew of, or maybe, yes, I have, of course I have. But it was never said to me, I'm a Mexican immigrant. No woman ever got on the phone before. And we've lots of women who are Mexican immigrants, I guess, now that I think about it. But no one had ever said to me, I'm a Mexican immigrant, a single mother living in the United States, and I'm terrified right now. I can't do this call. I just can't do this call right now, Crystal. So we have to honor that, the stages of healing, the stages of grieving. But what we have to do is we have to keep bringing our women up through it. And remembering, okay, this is triggering something. So you're in that sorrow, the could have been, the should have been, the ought to have been. And then we have to look at what we're afraid of. What are we really afraid is going to happen? We're all going to be set back. We're all going to not have rights over our bodies. We're all going to be deported. We're all going to have a wall. Okay, that's fear. What is it that we want to happen instead? We have to push up through that. What is it we want instead? Well, does it make you angry that someone could possibly take away our rights? Yes. Well, what would courage have you do? If you could get neutral and you could realize that we've got to communicate in a way that we're being heard, we have to tell our stories, but we have to tell it in a way where the quote-unquote other side has some level of understanding and compassion for that story. Mm-hmm. And that's a way a woman can do it. I don't know that men will ever be able to write in the same way that we women can right now about this experience, this situation, and we're being called. And so, Ellen, you just wrote a great article. I know it's about, what was it about again? The brain, because you're brilliant. Ellen's a doctor.
Well, it was actually, it was a personal story because, you know, I mentioned I work with children with special needs. And
just so you know, I don't mean to cut you off because I know I already said to you, yes, it'll be published, because I hadn't even read it. I just knew I'm publishing, Ellen. So just so you know.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. It was about a story. I work in a middle school with children who have special needs. And there was one time in my life when I was just really down on myself. And I think the world around me was just reflecting that. And so basically it's a story about a time that a middle school child who has special needs, and this is, you know, why the violence, I guess, was in a more acceptable place. But she came up and she punched me in the face, like, extremely hard. Like, I've never been punched in the face before. And this was, like, out of nowhere. And, you know, as I was sitting there, like, icing my face with peas, like, my swollen face, I was like, how did this happen? And I realized it was just a reflection of the things I was feeling. I was just so down on myself that I think she knew I was feeling worthless and was like, oh, easy.
But she didn't consciously know it. But that's what I mean about how we teach people how to treat us, because they don't consciously know what we feel about ourselves, but they feel it. They smell
it.
It's an energy.
Yes. Oh, kids pick it up, like, in a second, I think.
Yep.
Kids are incredibly in tune with how you're feeling.
Absolutely. So. That's why you're the most important. That's what, you know, what I love about having my babies was that I instantly became aware of the energy I gave off, because I could see how much it influenced my kids. And then I started realizing, if it affects my baby this much, then maybe we really do affect each other, because my baby, literally, when I'm happy, my baby's happy. When I'm happy, my kids are happy. If I'm down, there's just heaviness in the whole house.
Yes, absolutely. And
so back
I think
to your story. So you got punched in the face.
I got punched in the face. And so really the whole story was just like the lesson that I learned is that I had to really start taking care of myself. And I really had to start being confident. Because So when I was younger, I basically glorified acts of selflessness all the time. I would think people who put themselves last were the best people. Just gave and gave and gave were the best people.
The selfless.
And selflessness. And I learned and glorified that selflessness was the way to be. And it got to the point that I was giving myself and giving myself away to everyone else, and I had nothing left to give to myself.
Yep.
And I was just digging myself into this deep, deep hole of give to everyone else and forget about my own needs. And so the piece that brought this all together is one of my favorite song lyrics. We used to be from a U2 song, and it was "Let me take some of the punches for you tonight." And it was me glorifying that selfless attitude, and then all of a sudden I got punched in the face. And I was like, oh, I took some of the punches, and I don't think I need to take punches. And
I got it. That's me too. I'm at the point now where I'm like, I've been punched so many times, you ain't coming near my face.
Right. So
there's an energy you do give off. There's a confidence that you give off. There's a strength and a power that you give off when you really do have to embody the noblest parts of your selflessness with the noblest parts of your selfishness to become the fully embodied self. And that's
right.
It. This beautiful transcendence between selfish and selfless becomes the self. That is a healed whole self, is when we can find that perfect balance and transcendence. And I love that you're writing for us, and I love that you're part of our school now.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so excited to be a part of it.
Yeah, it's a great honor.
Anything else you
want to share or ask before we go to our next caller?
Maybe one quick thing. So I just did the module on the map, and I've always been sort of like a pacifist, and I try to.
Because you thought that was so noble.
Yes, I guess. And I am thinking as I'm going through it, and I'm getting stuck because I'm looking at the anger part, and I'm like, there are very few instances in my life where I have been truly angry, because even in situations where, I guess my point was that I've always gotten to a place of non-reactivity and thinking that, okay, I'm going to observe this situation, see what's making me uncomfortable about it, see what I can do to change it, but I've never gotten to the place of, oh, my God, I'm so angry about this.
So, Ellen, I want to stop you there because let's imagine a dimmer switch, frequency, light, or let's imagine just really simple, a ladder or climbing up a wall. So let's say throughout your life and let's draw the ladder, like I literally have to do the visual. I want you to imagine when you were born and you were a little girl, you were at the top of the ladder. Nobody's born at the bottom of the ladder. We're all born right at the top, which is peaceful and joyous. We laugh. We're happy. Joy resonates right under peace. Enlightenment is right at the top. So we're born as this little enlightened being that's peaceful and laughs and loves and is joyful. And then throughout our lives, things happen. Now, if you never have to be knocked down to anger, well, that's pretty incredible. But for a lot of us, what happens is we get knocked down. We're abused, or we're taken advantage of, or we've been hurt, or we didn't have parents that wanted us, or we had parents that abandoned us, or we were raped and nobody got us help. And what begins to happen is you literally drop down from peaceful down into joyous, and then you drop down to loving. But then you start to feel like, this is okay, so I have to surrender and just accept, and I'm like, and then you go below that, and it's called willingness, and below that you become courageous, and then below that is neutral. And maybe what you're saying is, I'm going to find it hard to believe, but I'm going to go with you on it, that you only ever got down to neutrality where you were able to see the bigger picture and rise back up through it. And that's a very enlightened way of going through the world. But the amount of 1 in 10 million people are peaceful communicators. So if you are, God bless you and thank you for joining my school. Now, most people, the reality is the U.S. right now is resonating down around, I forget the number, if you look up Dr. David Hawkins. I know it's not a science like your science, but it's applied kinesiology, which I know a lot of people say woo-woo, but the reality is the concept behind what he's saying is brilliant. And so it's almost like every emotion has a level, but every religion, every act, every intention, every word has a frequency. And so below neutrality becomes self-righteousness or pride. And then below that becomes anger. And below that becomes desire. And below that is fear. And below that is sorrow. And below that is apathy. And below that is guilt. And below that is shame. So that's passive. When you say you're a pacifist, you have to really ask yourself, are you a pacifist or are you peaceful? Because a true passive is shameful, embarrassed, quiet. There's not a lot of laughing. There's not a lot of joy. There's a lot of guilt. There's a lot of apathy, feeling stuck, can't move through, can't make decisions, can't make choices, can't see the bigger picture. We only ever get up to sorrow and sadness. We cry. We have depression. All that stuff where we just gave away our light, that's really what it is. You were born as a bright, beautiful, light little child. And, you know, in my case, I would say I never hid anger either until I was a teenager. I didn't need to. I was a total little child of God. I love God. My life was kind. My brother was a bully and there was shit that happened, but I never. But once I was raped, and then once I was raped every night of my life, and then once I ran away at 15, and then once I was homeless for 3 years, and then once I found out I had cervical cancer, and then once I had my head smashed in and my head was fractured, my skull was fractured, I lost all the nerves in the right side of my face, my cheekbone was broken, my eye was broken, and then I imploded. And then I gained 100 pounds. And so I'm not dealing. We're not dealing. We're empowered. We're not. You're the empowered woman. You're up at the top. But you have to understand when you're coaching someone, they have had, some of our people have had, they're smart. I'm brilliant. I'm a genius. It has nothing to do with how smart I am. When you've been abused over and over and over and over and over and over and over, you do fall into sorrow. You do feel ashamed. You do have guilt. Why? How does this keep happening to me? You got punched in the face once? I've been punched in the face 50 times. I've been beaten to a pulp. I have anger.
Yeah.
You got absolutely punched in the face once by a child. I've been strangled until I passed out.
Oh my goodness.
Literally till the blood vessels in my eyes burst. So that has to be expressed. And so when I see people that are like holier than thou, and I'm not saying you are at all, but people that are like, you know, you have to understand that when Trump won, it brought up, I had a lawyer once when I was $75,000 into a court case tell me that if I gave him a hand, he would go easy on my billing. And I literally in his office said, I don't understand what you mean. I mean, I'm happy to give you a hand. What do you need help with? He unzipped his pants.
Oh, my gosh.
This is what Trump did for me. It brought up, fuck, I didn't do anything to that guy. All I did, I went to the Upper Law Society of Canada, and they said you can file a complaint, but there's nothing we can do.
Wow.
So when you say I never hit anger, maybe you've never been so abused that you have anything that you're that angry about.
Right.
But if someone molested your child, you might be angry.
Oh,
and you're going to have to work, right? You're going to have to learn how to deal with that. Because for most women, they only ever get up to anger and then they don't know what to do. And then they say things incoherently and they flip out and they slam the door and they cry and they rage. And then people are like, they're crazy. Check her in somewhere. Give her medication. What she needs is a way to express her pain and suffering and to be validated and to be able to get better and better at communicating so that her needs are met, so that she shows up more confidently, so that nobody ever punches her in the face again.
Right.
Because she has an energy about her now that says, you can never do that to me again.
Right.
And that's what we're talking about here.
Absolutely.
So you're a peaceful warrior. You're not a pacifist. You're not a pacifist.
Well,
you're a peaceful, peaceful warrior. And a warrior is someone that never has to get angry. Because a peaceful warrior is so high resonating that when they feel there is an injustice and something, they use their words. They step up at the plate. they calm the situation. They're able to see the bigger picture. They're able to bring people together that disrespect each other in a way that can be more respectful. They open up the lines of communication. A true warrior, a peaceful warrior, never uses his sword. It's like Archangel Michael. It sits at your hip, but you know you don't need it.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, to me, a really empowered woman.
Well, thank you, I guess. I guess my question, though, is more like, I've been in some of those lower places, too. You know, I've been in shame and guilt, and then I guess I never moved through anger.
Yeah, so you never moved through. So that stuff might be still stuck inside you. So
okay.
Here's what I would ask you to do is make a list of everything you hate.
Okay.
And if it's not things that you can think of for yourself, you can be petty or you can think about the world. I hate that little girls are raped. I hate that little girls are sold into the... I hate that little boys are abused. I hate that... Like, let yourself understand that there's power in anger, not to stay stuck there, but to use it and channel it into constructive, productive changes for the world. Every great change happened because someone got angry enough. You think the slaves weren't angry? They were angry. They got angry enough to say, whoa, something has to be done here.
Yeah.
They didn't do that from an enlightened, hey, let's just use our words. They actually had to protest. They had to walk streets. They were killed. They were hung. They were, you know, but Mothers Against Drunk Driving. It's because somebody killed her child. Cindy, I forget her last name, out of California. A drunk driver killed her 12-year-old daughter standing on the curb skipping. And he drove into her and killed her. And it's because she was angry enough that she said, I hate drinking and driving.
Yep.
I hate drinking and driving so much that I'm going to channel my anger into helping make sure that this doesn't happen to anyone else's child.
Yep.
So make a list of all your I hates. And if you feel courageous enough, send them to me. And they'll never be seen, and you don't have to worry about being politically correct. Be as petty as you want to be, because that allows you to at least tap into a part of you that's there that you can't disown.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of you.
Yeah,
you have an angry, crazy warrior inside of you. And I love the laugh of truth. There's a laugh of truth.
Absolutely.
And you know you do.
Absolutely.
As much as you're a pacifist, I'll tell you, I bet you through the course of your life with the odd boyfriend, I don't know if you're married, that he said one too many things to you, and you were like a beautiful bottle of champagne that blew her cork.
Yeah.
There. Right? Are you telling me you've never yelled at anyone in your life?
It's been rare. And it's because, you know, maybe that's just, I always thought yelling was, you know, an anger. Maybe, it was, you know, it's my own feminine thing of, you know, men get angry and women just kind of,
what do they do?
I don't know. Just
what are women? Why would men have that emotion, but women wouldn't have that emotion?
Yeah, no, I totally agree that it's not. But I think it was just my own way of thinking. Okay, I'm not gonna react in anger because that would, you know, be.
I know. Then you'd be crazy. Then you'd be like someone on Jerry Springer.
Right.
Then you'd be.
But here's the thing:
if you honor the anger, you will never. You will be able to honor the injustice. I would love for you to make a list of all the injustices you've ever been through and not to stay in that place.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to stay in that place. And I actually don't want you to go there if you don't want to go there. But if you're trying to understand that, that's a great intervention to give someone who's really stuck and saying, here's the thing, you're not sabotaging your life. So and I don't know you well enough. Maybe there are areas of your life that you do sabotage. But here's what I know, is that sabotage is always repressed anger. And so when I have a client that comes to me and she says, I forgive him and I love them and I love this person and I love that person, I love everybody, but I can't lose weight and I can't make money and I can't get my business off the ground and I can't, then I'm like, well, you see, you have a lot of buried pain.
I think that's what it is. It's repressed anger because I've never coped it and channeled it into an angry way. I've always been like, okay, let me step back and see what's going on here instead of, okay, this is upsetting me, let me react.
Not even necessarily react, but honor it.
Mm-hmm.
Honor it. Honor it, because it's a lesson for you to learn. That anger is sort of like touching your hand on a hot burner on a stove. You're not meant to stay there. But it is meant to show you that there's an injustice happening, or there's a trigger inside of you right now that needs healing.
Got it. Okay, I'll make that list.
Yeah, I would love you to, because
sure.
it's a powerful step. I'll tell you, I never used the word hate until about 2 years ago, because I was like you. I just was like, I'm a peaceful warrior. Until suddenly Robin Williams killed himself, and I actually fell into very, very dark nights of the soul and thought, what is the point of my life? It's like, is all I do is sprinkle fairy dust on people, and I'm down in the trenches with everybody else. I'm tired. I'm exhausted. I'm selfless. I've given and given and given and given, and given and given and given and given, and I felt empty and drained. And it wasn't until I just honored how angry I was about so many things that it allowed me to actually forgive people.
Mm-hmm.
To actually truly forgive myself, love myself, honor myself, start having an opinion. Oh, well, people might think she's a big mouth. Oh, well, oh, my God, I'm a troublemaker. I had no idea I was a troublemaker. Like, I had no idea. I am clearly a troublemaker. Because troublemakers pissed me off. Troublemakers triggered me. When someone was a troublemaker, I just want to go, why do you need to cause trouble?
Right.
Why can't you just keep things nice?
Yep.
Well, because I had a troublemaker inside of me that I buried. Because I should have been
yep.
creating trouble when I was 12 years old and 14 years old and raped and abused and all that. I should have been creating trouble instead of just shutting my mouth and being quiet, because my parents, we were taught what goes on in our house stays in our house.
Mm-hmm.
We were taught that secrets are not to be shared. We were taught that to always respect authority. We were taught, there were things we were taught. And so I bottled it all in until it imploded on me and I felt like dying.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
wow.
what... That's what that map of consciousness can do. It can move people up through any emotion that you're going through. And let me tell you, I don't know anyone that doesn't have the full gamut of emotions. And so I know you do too.
Yeah.
You just
yeah.
may not
I
have allowed
that's
yourself.
I think what I was thinking is, yeah, I've been just repressing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when you own it and honor it and learn from it, man, you're going to fly even bigger than you are. And I already know you're a big, huge, bright and light in this world. So I'm excited to walk this journey with you and see what happens.
Thank you, Crystal. I'm excited.
Yay! They're cheering. good times. Thank you so much, Ellen.
Oh,
thanks
thank
for
you, Crystal.
Coming on the line today.
Yes, I will email you my list.
Okay, good. Yeah, email
thank
me.
You.
Let me see how pissed off you are about life. Share it all.
Okay, thank you, thank you.
You're welcome. And I'm going to go to, we only have a couple minutes left, but I see there's someone else that's put up her hand today. Who's this? I think you're American too. Who's this? You raised your hand. You don't have to do anything. I'll do it all.
Hello?
Hi, how are you?
I am doing well.
Who is this?
Alicia.
Alicia, I haven't talked to you in a while. How you been doing?
Been doing a lot of self-sabotaging.
You disappeared
yeah,
for a little while. I haven't seen you around for a little bit. Where you been?
Just wrecking my life pretty much.
Oh, darling. I'm going to give you a big hug right now. Let me just give you a big hug. Let me give you a big hug. Let me give you a big hug. You're not alone. You're not alone. I know you feel alone. You're not alone. Tell me what's been going on.
My childhood or my inner child has really been screaming at me to acknowledge what has happened. And
yes.
I'm pretty much there, I guess, addressing my little girl needs because
yep.
I've been crying a lot.
Yeah.
And
has it gotten worse lately?
Good.
Has it been worse lately?
Probably the last 3 months, yes.
Yeah.
Because this is my like my anniversary, just like my anniversary.
Yeah,
and
why don't you I remember every detail of what you told me, but you did share this once before in a chat with Crystal. Why don't you give the very small Cliff Notes version of what this anniversary is?
This is my anniversary where I was being molested at the age of 11. And so it has been 30 years since it's been over, and it's been 38 years since it started. So I just been pretty much just trying to just, you know, gather my thoughts and embrace the little girl that wasn't embraced when she was younger and giving myself stuff that I needed when I was younger. So it's pretty much little Alicia, big Alicia's giving little Alicia the things that she wished her parents would have gave her, her mom gave her.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes we can feel like we're taking 10 steps back when really what we're doing is almost like, I don't know if you've ever driven a car with a standard transmission, you know, where you got to actually do the gears yourself. Have you ever driven one of those?
Oh, you mean like a stick shift?
Yeah, no. Stick shift. Well, if you're driving a stick shift, it goes like first, and then you start building speed, and you push it up to second, and then you keep building speed, and you pull it down to third, and then you keep building, you push it up to fifth, and if you're in a really fancy pants car, you push it even higher up to fifth. I might have said fourth instead of fifth. Anyways, and then all of a sudden you're driving on the highway, and you're just flying because you're soaring in your life because you're now in the high fast lane and everything's going, and all of a sudden some idiot pulls in front of you. And you have to slam on your brakes, and you literally have to, like, pull back on the gears and pull back on the gears and pull back on the gears, and you're right down in first gear again, and you feel like you've just been so halted. When the truth is sometimes you have to pull back on the gears to gather up speed again. And, you know, this right now, these last 3 months, tell me what's been happening. What triggered off about 3 months ago this need to realize that you got to go in here and you've got to heal this beautiful little 11-year-old girl that so desperately needs to be hugged and loved and listened to, and she needs justice. Because you've had more than just that, Alicia. You've had some of the craziest, most abusive, most violent stories I've ever heard. You were living in Chicago, and someone abducted you.
Right.
Alicia.
Right. Yeah, so.
I hear you. I see you. I'm not saying it to hurt you. I'm saying it to say, I want to kill that person. I don't like to kill. I'm not a killer. I don't eat meat. But we need sometimes for someone to say, what happened to you? What happened to you? What?
Yeah.
What? What?
Yeah.
Who protected you? Who took care of you? Who fought for you? Was there anyone?
No one.
And that's why you're sabotaging now.
Yeah.
Who's going to fight for you?
I didn't self-destruct on anything, no medications, no drugs, no alcohol, none of that. So I pretty much mentally, my mind, I guess my mind help me.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, God, your mind, your spirit, your willingness. You know, we were talking about that ladder, peaceful, joy, love, surrender, willingness. Courage and willingness are effing massive, because where you have a willing spirit, where you have the courage to say, I will survive, when you can come into that place, when you can channel your anger, when you can say, I have the courage to do what must be done, and you have that willing spirit, that's what got you to where you are. That's why you never did drugs and you never drank, and nor did I. Like, I was a homeless kid, and maybe I drank some beer on a Friday night, but I never did drugs. What got us through, Alicia? I don't know. We're smart? I don't know. Something happened. At some point, someone instilled something into you that said, you are worthy. Don't do this. Don't hurt yourself. There was some level, there was some goldenness you knew inside that you matter and that you're important. For God's sake, you reached out and joined the SWAT Institute to become an empowerment coach. You figured out how to make those bills, those payments. You're meant to be here.
Absolutely.
And your story matters. And I would love to see your story get published.
I'm pretty much been journaling and putting my thoughts down. And this happened, and once, you know, everything, you know, happened, I got married just to get away from the madness. And I had a son, and my son wants to be a judge, and he's getting ready to get his master's degree in January, and he's going to law school next year.
Alicia!
Yes.
Alicia, so, just stop the presses for a moment. Can we just stop the presses for a moment? Alicia, from where you came from, Your son is getting his master's and wants to become a judge.
Yes.
Did you raise your son in Chicago?
Yes.
Alicia, you are healing your legacy.
Mm-hmm.
You are healing the line of all the women who came before you. You have raised a child in spite of what was done to you, who is an educated young man, who is intelligent and educated, and whether you want him to be a judge or whether you want him to be an astronaut, woman, you've done a good job.
Yes.
What are you feeling right now? Your son's going to become a judge, and that makes you feel what?
I feel hopeful, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I feel optimistic.
Yes.
And I know that this is not the end. It's just, you know, just the beginning, because once I get to that place of wholeness, it's my turn to go out there and, you know, spread my wings and fly pretty much.
You've raised a child. I want you to really recognize that massive accomplishment. Were you a single mother? Were you married? Did you stay with your first husband?
I was married, but it was pretty much I raised him by myself because he was a good provider. He was a good provider.
Yeah. But
to give
you,
us what we needed.
You did what you needed. To do to make sure your son got a good life. And you know what? I made sure I did what I needed to do to make sure my daughters have a good life. And that's how we heal our legacy. I still, like I said, it was a couple years ago that I was literally, Alicia, you know how you're talking right now, how sad and down you sound? I wanted to check myself in. I didn't want to check myself in somewhere. I wanted to check out. It was like, I've raised my kids. They're good. I built a school. It's good. The women are going to be okay. It's good. If I die tomorrow, that school will keep running because everything's in place now, with or without me. It's good. Ah, it's too hard to be here. And that's when I decided it was time to heal me.
Yes.
And it's time for you to heal you.
Yes.
Alicia, I'd like to give you a one-on-one free coaching session with me. Would you take that? Just a private one-on-one conversation, the two of us.
Absolutely.
All right. I want you to, I'm going to find your, I know your name. I remember your last name. I'm going to email you after this call, and I'm going to give you my calendar, and I want you to book in a call, just you and me, one-on-one, and you have, we're going to get you back to that place of hope. We're going to get you back to that place of joy. And there's some healing that has to happen. But you know what? I am just so inspired by you because I know your story. I know what you've been through. And for you to have dug down and tell me your own education. And if it's not, then you're not. It doesn't matter. But tell me about, did you go to school? Tell me about your education.
I didn't do anything special. I went to Job Corps when I got to be 18.
You went to what?
And I went to Job Corps.
Okay, what's that?
It's like a place where you go and you get your GED and they teach you a trade.
Yeah.
I did that, and I did go back to college, but it was just pretty much just to get a certification. I got a certification as a nursing assistant.
You got a certification as a nursing assistant?
Yeah.
Everybody doesn't even realize, I don't want to bring that story up, but you talked about it once before. Alicia, I will never forget the time you telling me that you were kidnapped at a bus stop with a guy with a machete.
Yeah.
And you were abducted.
And I was 15.
You were 15. And what he did to you.
Yeah.
And you were able to break away and escape.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ellen, we need to tell your story. Because you have a son who is graduating right now to become a judge.
Yes, that's my promised child.
It's time to do a bit of special extra work for you, and I would love to give you that gift because you amazed me today, you filled me up, you've energized me, and you've given me so much hope, and it's time for us women. We're going to... We're going to rock this world, darling, and it's going to start with you.
Absolutely.
And we're going to do it. We're not alone. You're not alone. You're not alone.
Mm.
So I'm going to email
you
after the call, and we'll set up a coaching call.
Okay. Thank you, everyone. I appreciate
you
so much.
Yeah, we're all here. We're all sending you love. Every single person on the line right now, everyone that's listening through the webinar, every person that's listening as a recording, I want you to just see Alicia in your mind, see her heart, see her soul,
mm-hmm.
see her being. I want you to send her so much love and just focus on her right now and say her name. We send you so much love, Alicia. We send you so much love.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Really
all right, everybody. Thank you so much. We got you, girl. Thank you, everyone, for being on the call today. Thank you, everyone, for supporting and for showing up. And it means so much. So we're going to do this again next Tuesday. Please invite your friends because we need to share this. This is a grassroots movement, and we can't do this without sharing. And for you caring and telling and getting involved, we need you. Next Monday night, I'm going to be doing a call with Jackie Brown. You can see it now on the SWAT Institute website. You can register for it. It's called The Best Way to Fight is to Write, and we're going to be really giving some amazing tips on how to share your story, how to share your truth, how to write in a way that's coherent so that people will respect you and will listen to you. We all got to get better at it. So thank you, everyone. Have a really great day. I'm just going to finish off with one of my most favorite songs by my dear friend, Colette Baron-Reed. It's called Coming Home, and really isn't that what's happening for all of us? We are all coming home. Goodbye, everybody.
You're like a long pool in the water. I'm thirsty, that's clear. Why do you need me?
The moderator has left the conference.